This is the Don and Mike Show.
Richard Gere's a real hero of mine.
Sting. Sting would be another person who's a hero. The music that he's created over the years, I don't really listen to it, but the fact that he's making it, I respect that.
The Don and Mike Show.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Yeah. Go ahead, call us. We're waiting for your calls.
I like the way it skids. See, that one skidded.
Dying for your calls.
Please.
Come, drink their hair water. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
That one's gone.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Oops, hello.
Radio guys.
Yeah. What's happening? Hi.
Don and Mike.
What can we do for you?
Hi.
If you play back anything that BA has said today, she just suddenly sounds exactly like Rosie O'Donnell to me.
She sounds like Rosie O'Donnell.
You mean the Rosie of the Rosie Show or the Rosie of the...
Thank you!
You mean like that?
That one. That one. Not, I mean, not the retard thing, but...
Yeah!
You know, she just sounds like... like she relaxed and went back to some native flying or something.
What the hell? Did you put any thought into this call at all?
I think maybe too much.
I just hung up on him.
Jesus.
I just hung up on him.
Relaxed and went into some native... Not that, no. It's not that. It's what it is me.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, my name is Travis. They just read a note for me about this stripper bus down here in Tampa.
Oh, hey, Travis. Yes. Hey, we were just going to...
Hold on a second, dude. I was just going to call you up. Hold on a second.
Yeah, bud.
Okay, hold on a second. We'll get right back.
Hey.
What?
Yeah,
don't use my real name, though.
Well, Travis, you're on the air. But I don't have a last name. It just says Travis. Oh,
right.
Hold on. I won't use your last name.
Right. Is that okay? All right, but we can call you Travis?
Call me, like, T.
Well, you've already said this is Travis. You called us on the air, so it's out there.
But don't worry, there's plenty of Travises down in Tampa.
Oh, man.
All right, you want us to call you T when we talk to you next time?
Yeah.
All right, hold on. Would you like a mister in front of that?
fool.
Hold on, T.
Travis, you okay?
I put him on hold. Well, let me see. Also from our website. Oh, now this is looking good. Dear Don, I found a way for this to work. I will give you my password to sign on to Xbox Live.
Right.
You go in, change the email address and password to your own, and that should take care of it, unless somebody comes up with something more clever.
And that guy will be at your house. I think that's right.
I trust that guy. I mean, you know, I'm an idiot, but I trust him.
I came over to play.
At any rate, any
it
chance,
works better as opposed to being on the Internet.
Any chance I can get a personally autographed photo of my favorite radio gods in exchange? Of course. Well, of course you can. Thank you, my friend.
I'll sign the photo after the show.
Okay, please do.
If that goes well, you might be able to access his money.
That's what scares me about this. Just, all right,
hello.
Here's the way it works. Just give me your email address.
Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hey, guys, how's it?
Hey, hi. Hello, people.
Hey, I got the best title for BA's new show. It should be Reflections with BA McBride.
All right, Reflections.
It's pretty good. We
Let's
thought of it.
Let's now go from that guy to a mystery man from Tampa Bay.
I had no idea who this guy is.
It's Mr. T, Mike.
Call him T.
Oh,
wonderful T.
Maybe you've had some of his wife's Bloody Mary mix.
I've had his cereal.
Well, just call me dumbass because I thought I was talking to Spiewak or something.
No, not you. All right, well, here is Travis, who sent us the following email. Yesterday, I had mentioned about the stripper bus, the whore bus at Bucks games. And he writes, Dear Don and Mike, I live in Tampa, Bucks season ticket holder, satisfied client of the Deja Vu stripper bus.
Cool.
Now.
All right, how you doing, Sevart?
Having a wonderful time.
Sevart is Travis spelled backwards. Now, Deep Throat, here is what I heard about this, is that they had a bus down there at Raymond James Stadium, and you could go in and you could get handies, you could get lap dances, you could have girl-on-girl action, you could go in wearing your Buccaneers jersey and your hard hat that had the two beers on either side of it and the straws going down to your mouth, and then you could get stuff done to you. And
hey, how much of that is true, Travis? I mean, T? I mean, C.
so far everything's great.
Wow,
as much money you had.
How many guys at one? How many guys at one time would they have on the bus?
Well, in preseason though, it was pretty slow because it was kind of new, and nobody really knew about it. But as the season went on, more people were handing out flyers and stuff, and the line was starting to get long.
It was a line.
Yeah, I loved the Tampa Bay area. You know, Frieda and I were buying a house down there before she passed away. I mean, we loved Tampa Bay more than anywhere. And really, one of the reasons, not the reason I wanted to move there, but that's a hell of a football town. That's a hell of a stadium. And I love the layout. I love the inside the stadium. My question is, because I got a pretty good knowledge of that stadium. I've been down there quite a few times. Is the bus where guys were getting laid, was it actually on the grounds of the parking lot for the stadium, or was it like in a residential area?
It was on a parking lot of the stadium, but it wasn't like directly in front of it.
It wasn't directly in front of the stadium.
Was it with all the official parking, like where you get in the line and the guy with the flag says you pull it in here, you pull it in here?
They have their own RV parking lot.
How much did it cost you to get on the bus?
Like 12 feet. It depends what you want. Plus, you just want to sit there and watch, so it was like $20.
$20 to watch.
Right. Or would you like watch other? Do they have like? They have a back room or something?
They have the back bedroom there. Yeah, of course.
VIP room.
That's just like a RV, kind of like an older RV that's been retrofitted into a strip club.
A black 40-foot motorhome.
Now, how many weeks did this go on before? I guess the cops just found out about it, right?
I guess this last weekend, right?
Just this last weekend.
Did
so,
nobody know about? I mean, I would think the cops would know.
We're in the 12th week of the regular season, which I guess Tampa Bay's had 5 or 6 home games. Yeah, maybe 4. Who knows? But either way, with the preseason, at least 6 or 7 times, there's been guys getting laid. Fantastic.
Let's see. Last year there was rumblings about that, but I could never find it.
The owner.
So we think it might have been going on last season, dude.
Wow. The owner of the bus of the RV says that he's taken it to 4 games this season, and this was the first time police had found them. Was there anything on the outside of the bus that would indicate what kind of bus it was?
Not really, no.
And when you were inside, did you pay to do anything except look?
Of course not.
So did you pay? Did you get a handy?
I'd take the 5th on that.
Okay, so you did. How much was that?
Oh, my other phone's already ringing. God dang it, I'm busted.
How much was that? How much was that, Mr. X?
$40.
$40. Was it pretty good?
Not really.
How many girls were on the bus?
Can I just ask one question? Did you have your pants down, but did you still have your Mike All-Star jersey on?
John Lynch jersey, now, man.
John Lynch jersey. So, roughly, a handy was about the same as 3 beers. Hello?
He has hung up. He's a little nervous, I think. And a bright guy.
Yes. We lost him. Well, never fear. 813 is Tampa Bay.
I didn't find his voice particularly recognizable.
We got a lot of calls from Tampa Bay coming in now. But now they're all dropping off.
They sold drinks on the bus as well.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, I need a little psychic advice from you guys. I'm on the way to Tahoe, and I want to put $1,000 on the Redskins to win the NFC Championship. What do you say?
You know what I say? Open your window and throw the money out, $1 bill at a time.
After you light it on fire.
That tells me what I want to know. I'm going to Caesars right now. I'm putting it down, baby.
All right. Thank you,
Good luck.
Give me.
See you later. Hold on. 813. Hello, Don and Mike show. Here's a guy from Tampa, I bet. Hello.
Hey, I am from Tampa, but I used to be a Redskins season ticket holder. Don, you wouldn't really like it down here much anyway because, you know, they don't force you to buy parking lot passes and the atmosphere is not like a stale Walmart parking lot like it is up there.
I love Tampa Bay. I love everything about Tampa Bay.
Incidentally, though, Walmart, and we should point it out for the sake of this story, Walmart RV friendly.
Hey, hey, Don.
Did you know that really? If you're at any Walmart and you've got an RV, they'll let you stay, spend the night there. Any Walmart
if you're
parking lot.
Traveling cross country, you can stop at a Walmart.
You can stop if you're like going around going, "Hey, cousin."
That's true.
You know, I don't know where the RV campsite is. You can always stop at a Walmart parking lot.
It's right by Randy Quaid Land, isn't it?
Yeah, that wonderful amusement park.
All right. So if you're in Tampa, do you heard the story about the sex bus? Have you been to a game and have you been on the sex bus?
I saw him play the Redskins, and I was with my wife, and I'm sorry to say I did not partake.
But did you see the sex bus?
Yeah, I saw it. I knew where it was.
So you knew where it was. Was it kind of known by a lot of guys that go to the ballpark, but nobody really talked out loud about it?
Oh, there was no doubt. Everybody knew about it. I mean, it was building this season, like the other guy said. In the preseason, wasn't much talk about it, but each game it kind of got more and more known, so it was only a matter of time.
That is hysterical. I guess the giveaway would be the line
of guys
going outside of the RV.
They were fine until the girls, the dancers, started going through the parking lot handing out little business cards and flyers saying, "Come see me, I'm a dancer."
Jesus.
And that's how police found out about it.
Wow. I guess that's not that far removed from what Dan Snyder does, after all.
You know, in a way, you're right.
Okay,
absolutely. That's a good call.
That's right. Thank you, my friend. All right, Tampa Bay.
He just does it a little differently.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello. Uh-oh. Hello.
I get the impression that some guys want to tell us about this bus, there's a little fear here.
I see a lot of 813s.
We do have a lot of listeners down in Tampa.
I see a lot of 813s, and I go to pick it up, and as soon as I figure out they're on the air, it's like, oops.
I liked our friend T, who said, "Phone's ringing, I'm busted."
See, sometimes the cannons went off before the touchdowns were scored. Imagine you walking into the parking lot. Daddy, what's that? Boom, boom, boom.
I don't need to watch the game.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
I'm tired.
Don and Mike.
Yeah, hi.
How we doing?
Okay.
Hey, I've only been in the car about a half hour. Mr. Xbox Live problem, but have you tried calling 1-800-4-MY-XBOX?
My friend, the problem is solved. You got to listen to the whole show every day.
That's right.
But thank you for your concern.
I apologize.
That's okay. That's all right. I'll see you at the sex bus.
I should point out also for Yankee fans, and I'm providing a public service here, Legends Field, the Yankees preseason stadium, is right next to Raymond James Stadium. So perhaps he can bring the sex bus to that, too, for the spring training season.
Or as I'd call it, the F-truck, because it kind of rhymes.
Uh-huh. Yes, it's very nice.
I'll tell you one time. I know I've told you this before. When I worked in Rockford, Illinois, at WROK, this is way back in 1970, still in high school, like 74, 75.
Okay.
I'm doing 10 to 2 at night while I'm going to high school during the day. And there was a big RV that the station had that had a mobile DJ studio in it that they would drive around like the Pants Corral, and you would do a remote there.
Right.
Anyway, we called it the W Rock F Truck. Uh-huh. Because what you would do is you would pick up chicks on the telephone.
Right.
And it was better than even having like to go to their apartments, because you would just tell them, "Come by the station. We'll go in the RV and we'll go in the F truck." So I think I mentioned that the guy that did the overnight shift, Bobby B. Soda, was the guy. It was Bobby, and middle initial B, last name Soda, like soda pop.
Oh, S-O-D-A, not S-O-T-A.
No, Bobby
B. He wasn't a Latin disc jockey.
No, Bobby B. Soda. He would quite often, because I did 10 p.m. to 2 a.m., so he would show up at the station at about 1:30. Quite often he'd come in and go, "Anybody looking for me, bro?" And, you know, he'd say, "Yeah, there's a chick out in the lobby." And he would say, "Okay, I'm going out to the F truck."
So the RV had like a DJ booth in it, right?
It was an RV that had an actual disc jockey studio in it.
Okay.
But it also had a bedroom, uh-huh, a bathroom,
convenient,
a kitchen, and the station had a gigantic parking complex in back,
right,
where they had like a dock built for this truck, because it was such an expensive piece of communications technology.
Okay.
Right.
So it would not be unusual. I mean, I'm not saying that I didn't use the truck. I used it. We all did. But Bobby B. Soda would be the biggest one. What he would do is he would set up his dates the night before. So a lot of times, like at 1:30 in the morning, the light would go off saying someone's at the front door. I'd go to the front door during a record, go, "Hello." She'd go,
I'm here for Bobby. I go, oh, yeah,
have a seat and wait. Now, he'd show up about 20 minutes till 2, and he'd go, hey, what's happening? I said, you know, there's a girl outside.
What did he look like? He said, was he, because you just, the voice you did, was he asleep?
Celebrity he most resembles Waylon Jennings.
Wow.
So it would not be unusual for Bobby B. Soder to
all
say,
dressed in black,
say to me, can you cover my first couple breaks?
Ew.
And I'd say, yeah, sure, no problem. And, you know, so it'd like the 2 o'clock top of the hour, 2 a.m. Hey, it's 2 a.m. and the hits keep coming. Bobby should be here any second. I'm not, woo, W-R-O. And then, like, it'd be quarter after 2, and I'm playing a record. I eventually have to go out to the van and, you know, do the old.
His fans are rocking.
You know, and they'd hear you, yeah, what? Like, it's quarter after 2. I'll be there in a minute. He used it all the time.
No gratitude at all, right? Wow.
Used it all the time. And every disc jockey used it. Right. And what was great was...
And I'm sure that was a lovely, special place.
What was great was, on the days after, sometimes you would know that the van would be used the next day for a remote.
Oh.
Like on a Saturday, it would be taken out to whatever the local Toyota dealership was.
Right. So the van was separate from the mobile studio.
I'm sorry, I call it a van, the F-truck.
Okay.
Quite often.
So you'd knock on the door. I'm trying to get the right mental picture here.
Yeah,
you'd bang
on RV,
the
okay. On the side, on the sliding glass door, on the screen door.
Right.
Of the RV. I mean, you know. Hello? And I'd hear inside, get out of here. A lot of times, if there'd be someone like, there was a disc jockey everybody hated, Citizen Dan.
Uh-huh.
That was just the name he used. The guy was just a jerk.
Citizen Dan.
If he would be doing a remote on a Saturday morning, let's say at 10 o'clock, well, the proper etiquette was if you were with a girl, you would clean up your mess.
Please.
I mean, you would clean up behind you, after yourself, after you'd had sex with a listener in the station vehicle. A lot of times, Bobby B. Soder would love the fact that he'd get done, and he'd come out, and he'd say to me, so he'd get rid of the girl, and we'd go back in the studio, and he'd say, well, I got to go back, and I'll clean that thing, it's a mess. He'd look at the schedule and go, who's using it tomorrow? Oh, Dan is. Well, screw him. So what that means is that the next day, Citizen Dan would show up at the station at 9 a.m.,
right.
Would get in the front seat, get the key, drive the thing out to the Toyota dealership, and at some point...
And hopefully not want to take a nap before he went on the air.
And at some point during the day, the client would come in to the bus to say hello.
And find
panties. Now, there was never like the smell of poontang,
right.
But it was always just the knowledge.
The knowledge that you'd been there and not taken care of.
Anyway, it was
Citizen Dan got that treatment quite a bit.
Yeah. It was the greatest sex vehicle in the history of radio.
It sounds to me like it was used... Only when it was in the station parking lot.
And it was actually when Carl Hamilton, I bet he loves me saying his name now that he's a vice president with this company, but when he was the program director, it was one of the come-ons when I was hired.
Right.
Because part of the deal was, you're going to make $128 a week.
Uh-huh. Right.
But if you ever want to get laid and you get a girl to come down to the station... We have a fully functional RV out back.
That's nice.
That has a bed in it, and it's got running water in it.
How to lure great talent. That's anyway, a company benefit. Whatever it takes.
And I do. Okay, one more Bobby B. Soder story, and I know I've told you this one.
Was he an older guy?
Yeah. He'd been in radio for freaking ever. I was 15. Wow. He had to be.
And he was doing the 2 to 6 shift.
Yeah.
2 a.m. to 6 a.m.
He had to be older than we are now. He
right.
had to be in his 50s.
Wow.
Like, his big shot had been in Tulsa.
Okay.
Like in 1969.
Right.
Okay. So he's doing overnights in Rockford, Illinois. I know I've told you this before, but it's the greatest Bobby B. Soder story ever. That I'm driving home from work on one of the nights that he wasn't getting laid. And, of course, I'm listening to the station.
Yeah.
I'm on the highway. It's like 2:15 a.m. And I hear, Dean Morning, WROK, your number one hit music station. Hey, Don, if you're out there listening, this is your buddy Bobby B. Come on back. Got an emergency. Don, come on back. WROK. And I go back to the station.
Formatting.
And what he had done was, I know I've told you this before. We had these gigantic Q-tips,
right?
That they would use to clean the heads of the tape machines.
Right.
These Q-tips were not gigantic in like they were Land of the Giants. It was It was a regular Q-tip, but it had a stick.
A long. It was that was for like, cleaning the tape heads.
Like 12 inches long. The stick was gigantic.
And wooden. It's wooden. It's not like a Q-tip.
Right. Wooden, like a chopstick almost.
Right.
Turns out, I show up at the station after he said on the radio, come on back.
He had an emergency.
Before cell phones, right?
Right.
So I go back and I go, what's happening? And he says, look at this. And as it turns out, he's cleaning his ear. And he has the Q-tip.
Not exactly sanitary either.
No.
He has the Q-tip, and it's not really I'm not describing it.
It's not sterile. What it is, it's a Q-tip on a wooden stick, but the cotton swab is for tape heads, not for ears.
Right. He has it so far in his ear.
Oh, my God.
He cannot get it out.
Jesus.
Now, he also cannot put on headphones.
Right. So he's actually shoved that thing so far into his head.
Oh, so, it's now 2:20 in the morning, and the two of us are standing in this radio studio. Well, whatever, let's get physical by Olivia Newton-John or whatever record.
Did it break off in there?
Yes. Thank you.
There's one now.
Yeah, you see this?
Yeah, I see the long tape head cleaner.
It was longer than this.
Okay.
This one's about 6 inches long. When I showed up at the studio, there was maybe that much showing out of the side. Maybe a quarter to a half an inch of the Q-tip.
Right.
So I get there, and he said, I can't get it out. And I said, how'd you do this? I'm cleaning my ears. I can't get this thing out. I can't put the headphones on. Meanwhile, the record is running out.
Yeah.
And he says, hold on a second. Hold on. Now, he's doing all this without headphones on.
Right.
He just grabs the next record and starts it and just turns on the microphone and goes, "1440 WROK. Here's Glenn Campbell, Rhinestone Cowboy, WROK.
How come he couldn't get it out if it was sticking out of his head?
He pulled and pulled and pulled, and it was lodged in there.
Yee!
What I had to do
so it was a pain issue.
Yeah.
What I had to do was get a pair of, not pliers, almost like
needle noses?
A grip, the type, I'm such a faggot with tools.
Needle nose pliers, maybe?
Yes. Right.
Not the regular pliers, but the kinds that come down to a point.
Right.
And the engineers used them all the time. We got a million of them.
So what I did was I grabbed on, and I said, okay, I'm gonna pull. This is gonna hurt. And as soon as I yanked just a little bit, he went, and I hear this.
It breaks off.
I'm not even. It was more like. Now what's happened is there's a nub.
Any blood?
No, ooh, none yet.
What a really. Oh.
There's a nub that's maybe. Gosh, I don't know. How big is that, Mike?
It's like an eighth of an inch.
Yeah. That's all that's left. I've ripped off the half inch that's out of his ear. Now, it's never crossed my mind that we should maybe call a doctor.
Right.
Or that we should maybe get him to the hospital.
He's probably poked his eardrum out.
He's like, what are you doing? You're killing me. I said, hold on. I'll get this. Meanwhile, the record's running out.
Do you have to go back into the ear?
Yes, I did. Yes, I did. What I did was I went back to the engineering department.
Right.
And I got a better set of the same type of
needle nose pliers. Right.
And now, he started a record, and I said, here's what you need to do. Lay on the floor. Lay on your side with your good ear on the floor.
Right.
What I'm going to do is straddle. I must have looked again like the biggest queer in the world. I'm going to straddle you. I'm going to pull this out, and I'm also at the same time going to, like, put my foot almost on your shoulder so that you can't jump up in pain.
Right.
So he said, okay, whatever, this is killing me. So keep in mind, this is like 2:30 in the morning. The guy is laying on the ground like this. I'm on top of him, and I go, okay, now when I'm going to pull in just a second, and when I'm going to put, meanwhile, in the background, I'm going to hear him, like a rhinestone cowboy, bow, bow. And he's saying to me stuff like, how much time is left in the record? Thinking, there's a minute 40 left in the record.
It's like you looked behind a piece of bone or something.
So what happens is I go in and I say, okay, here we go. One, two, three. And I got the mega pliers. And
right.
Boom! I pull that baby out, and I'm standing there, and I say, got it! Got it!
And I realize at that moment that as I am standing there holding this Q-tip going, got it, got it, and I'm all happy because I'm waving it around, I realize I'm being splattered with blood. An absolutely true story.
Oh, Jesus.
He probably punctured his own eardrum.
Yeah.
He did.
Oh, my God.
He did.
Oh, my. And that they say that you've got to be real careful even when you just don't go deep into the ear when you're cleaning your ears. You really don't go too deep.
So what happened was I flipped out. I said, Jesus Christ. Like, you're bleeding. You're bleeding. He said, it'll be all right. So I called Shotgun Mark Rivers.
Right.
Was the DJ that was on before me.
All these guys. I picture a bunch of guys that look like something in Westworld.
I can picture all of them.
Bring the cowboy hats in.
So I go Shotgun up and I say, hey, I'm here with Bobby B. Soda, and I just pulled this Q-tip out of his ear. And
hey, Shotgun, there's a guy here who looks like Waylon Jennings.
Jesus Christ. I mean, there's blood coming out of this guy's ear
gross.
Like a gusher. And he said, don't worry, I'll be there in 15 minutes.
Oh, good, another disc jockey. That's going to help.
So what he did was he showed up with a bag of cotton balls.
To shove into the ear?
And then what we did was we laid Bobby B. Soda back down on the ground, on his side.
Allowing the blood to fill into his brain.
So that the blood, would not seep out. And we very gently pushed in cotton balls and then took engineering tape and tape them to the side of his head.
No need to seek out any proper medical.
Don Geronimo.
Civil War.
I swear to God, we got done with this at about.
Then how did you wrap the whole thing up by stapling the tape to his head?
No, it was taped somehow to his ear.
Yeah.
And he said.
With engineer's tape.
Yes, he said it was fine.
Yeah, it's fine. No problem. No problem. You look a little funny. What's that?
And it was about that time. It was 3 a.m.
Right.
And I remember distinctly leaving the station with Shotgun Mark Rivers, and like nothing had happened. He said to me, do you want to go get something to eat? I said, yeah, I got nothing to do. Let's go get something to eat. So we just get in the car. We turn the radio on, and, it's 1440 WROK is Bobby B. Soda. 230's Angel in Your Arms by Hot WROK. And, we don't even give it a second thought.
So how did he read?
It was not until, I guess, a week later. The program director, Carl Hamilton, the same guy that said to me, one of the great side benefits is the F-truck.
Right.
Put out a memo saying that Bobby B. Soda would be taking 6 to 8 weeks off because he had punctured his eardrum.
My God.
He had punctured his eardrum, and we should all pray for his speedy recovery. And
is there a disc jockey you are aware of that has not used those tape head cleaners to clean his ear?
And I think
I am not aware of anybody that has never used them at least once.
Sure. The last I had heard, he had gone at least 50% deaf.
Yes.
In that ear.
I would think so.
In that ear. And I can't tell you, up until this moment, I've not spent 1 minute of my life reflecting on it, thinking,
but he did that.
I could have done something to help him.
Well, you had pulled it out, but he had done the damage by putting it in.
Those are the great boredom fillers. Those and razor blades in an air studio.
Yes.
And I know of some disc jockeys that even use them to clean apparatus that may not be legal.
Oh, yes, of course. Of course.
Well, like cleaning the guns.
No.
Chopping coke.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, you're doing a drug thing. And hey, welcome to the drug culture.
And also they use the Q-tips to clean out pipes and things.
How many, do you know, how many of you have gotten razor cuts from the raw razors that they use in a radio station?
Oh, God, millions of them.
I've gotten so many razor cuts, it's not even funny.
You know, and they don't even teach it in college anymore.
No, right. It's a dead technology.
It used to be you would have to use a razor blade to splice tape, and now you do everything digitally. There's no need for razor blades.
I've gotten a razor cut playing with razors during this show while I've been working with you. Just sitting over here, there was a razor. I don't even use them, and they were just sitting here, and I'm like, yeah, play with the razor. Oop, there goes the thumb.
Trimming a cuticle. Oops.
Yep. What could possibly go wrong with a non-safety straight razor?
So, kids, if you have a medical problem, don't go to a disc jockey.
Yeah, don't do that.
Yeah, for God's sakes.
Anyway, I don't think it's your fault. No.
I have never felt awful about it. I mean,
you did what you could.
Is Soda still alive?
I believe. That would be a good where are they now. You know, although who knows?
I don't think he's alive any longer. Passed away, infection.
Yeah.
We tried to call him. The phone keeps ringing. He doesn't hear it.
Brain juice leaked out.
You know what would have helped that injury?
What's that?
The Cotton Queen.
Okay. Weekdays at 3.
All right, there you go.
Bobby B. Soda.
Bobby B. Soda.
And great story.
And his whole on-air persona was just that he didn't care. You know, he was like 50, drunk all the time.
Right.
Doing overnights in Rockford, Illinois. And it would just be like, there was no thought at all. Put it, you would be standing there talking with him. Because the light would be going off saying the record is ending.
Right? Well, that's the shift where nobody's, I mean, there's right. no one listening.
So it would really be like, hey, 1440 WROK, you feeling thirsty tonight? About some Bobby B. Soda. That was the guy's whole rap.
I can't imagine he never went further than Tulsa.
I got the chicks.
That was the guy's whole rap.
I mean, look, you said it right there.
Waylon Jennings.
Waylon Jennings. I'm guessing a pretty heavy smoker, too.
Yes. Yes. And one last tip in on Bobby B. Soda, and this is really a tribute, not a put down. The first disc jockey who I ever saw drink while he was on the air. And then get mad at me when I said to him, what are you doing? You know, he looked at me like I'm out of my mind.
Yeah.
Like, you know, who doesn't? Hey, how long have you been in the business?
Yeah. Eventually you learned he was right.
Did he have the little bitty bottle?
No, he had the great big bottle.
Oh, really?
Back in his DJ. We all had DJ lockers with padlocks on them. Mm-hmm. And when Bobby B. Soda would open up his locker, he would have, and I've never been an expert on booze, it would be either whiskey or bourbon.
Right.
Or whatever it was. Christ, when I worked at KFI in Los Angeles with Jackson Armstrong, this guy,
I love the name.
His whole thing was, Bigby, who was the program director, Big Fat Tom Bigby,
lovely Tom Bigby,
said to me at one point, don't talk a lot to Jack when you go into the studio. Just let him focus on doing his show. And I said, why? And he said, because the guy's drunk. He said, the guy is drunk every day, but he's great on the radio. Yeah. He's just drunk in real life. I don't know how he does it.
Right.
So I would wait and go in and, like, you know, between the shows, I'd be like, how you doing? And I could never tell that the guy was drunk.
Right.
And one day I ended up saying something to him.
If you really wanted to screw Bigby, you walk in and go, why don't you tell me a story? Take him out of his train of thought.
I did go into Jackson Armstrong's studio one day and say, hey, you know what? Now I've been in radio for a while. It's like 19. I'm married by this time to Frieda. This is like 1980 out in Los Angeles. I said, I can't be, you know, I hear that you drink. But, like, your show is, because he was real high energy, on top of it. He said, I've been drinking since day, he was one of these motor mouth guys. I've been drinking since day number one. Come on back to my office. I go back to his office. He had a case of 7-Up, and next to it, a case of whatever it was that he mixed with the 7-Up. Right.
Probably Seagram 7.
Yeah. is that what 7 and 7 is?
You bet it is. Yeah.
That's what he said. He said he drank 7 and 7. Every single night.
Really?
Every night.
Like during the whole show?
Yeah, and you would never know. You could be sitting there, according to Bigby, you could be sitting there and he would be going, and he'd turn the microphone on and be, music radio KFI, woo! Catch it up from lots of music, machine, baby, yeah!
That's what we like to call the good old days.
Beatles! And it was like no big secret. I'm like, do you drink during your show? Well, yes. Have you been to my office?
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, no, I have not been to your office. Go ahead, take a look. Make yourself a drink.
But those are fun stories. I don't think I can only match one story of catching one of the disc jockeys, a guy named Frank A. And Frankie A was about 400 pounds, and I was a program director, and I couldn't find him in the studio. I didn't know where he was, and I went into the transmitter room, was right next door to the studio, and I hear some rustling. And I walked in on the guy, and you know what he was doing?
What?
He had hemorrhoids, and he was putting in a suppository.
Oh!
Okay, you know what? Mike? Winner! Okay.
Yeah. That's a special moment
for me. All right.
Mike, yeah.
There you go.
Winner!
I said, hey, Frank, I wanted to mention a couple. Oh, Jesus.
Winner!
Oh, my God. What the hell are you doing?
You don't often get this from me. Touche. You win.
I wish to God he'd been drinking.
Winner!
You win.
I had nightmares after that.
We got a break. Suppository to break.
Yes, exactly what he was doing. He said, hey, good to see you. And he went to shake.
Oh.
This is the Don and Mike Show.